Hey, everybody out there in internet land, you know who this is. Another episode of Money Talks. And today is my privilege to introduce to you a new friend from Knoxville, Tennessee. Her name is Katrina Hall Smith. And we have to put MD after that because she is a medical doctor. And she's got a story here to tell you how she got into that and how she's turned that into something that's going to be a benefit to a lot of people, old and young. So, without further ado, Katrina, take it over. Tell us about you, your background, how you got into what you're doing. Go for it.
Good morning, Russ, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to tell my story. I am originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. I grew up, I had a very interesting birth in that I was premature, and everybody told my parents, or the doctors at that time told my mom that I wasn't going to make it. So they didn't clean me up or anything. The
Oh.
next morning, a physician came in and she said, "Why is this baby still laying here?" And they said, "Well, she's got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and we don't have the facilities at this particular institution to be able to take care of her."
Oh.
And so, being the magnificent physician that she was, she said, "Transfer to a hospital that does."
All right. Brilliant thought, yeah.
Brilliant thought, exactly. And so they transferred me over to Children's Hospital, which was right down the street, literally. And here I am today.
All right, cool.
And that was kind of, and I tell you that story only because that was my inspiration for wanting to become a physician. I always wanted to be a physician from the time period I was a child because I heard about the impact that Dr. Norby Walker had on my life, and I was always grateful. And you hear the adage of, "To those to whom much is given, much is required." And so throughout my life, I felt like I've had a need to provide service to others. So that gets into my military career. Going through, you mentioned earlier about your granddaughter. I did high school ROTC, and my senior army instructor had challenged me. He said, "I think you ought to go to the military academy." And I was like, "Military academy, what's that?" And so he explained it to me, and I was like, "Okay, well, I'll try." And I put in for it, and so I ended up going to the United States Military Academy at West Point, and graduated and received my commission in military intelligence. And so I still had in the back in my background in the back of my mind the desire to be a physician, but I said, "Okay, I'll do this for a few years, serve my country, and then get out and go to med school."
All right. You had a plan, folks.
Right.
You need to have a plan. Okay, continue.
So I served in military intelligence field. I got a chance to go to Germany, and then I came back and ended up working with the Defense Human Agency and doing some other things. But then, like I said, in the back of my mind, I was like, "Okay, I still need to get transitioned over so that I can go to med school." So at that point, the Army had other plans for me to continue on in the intelligence career. So I said, "Nope, I'm going to med school." So I got out, went to med school, and then came back in.
Did the
And
GI Bill pay for your schooling, or how did that
no,
work?
no, no. In my case, because I went to the academy, the GI Bill did not apply because the academy is a full scholarship.
Ah.
And so at that time, they were saying, "Okay, we've already invested enough in you and sending you to West
Oh.
Point. We're not going to give you any additional funds to be able to go to med school right now." So there were a couple of other programs that I didn't apply for, but no, I paid out of pocket for that. Yeah. And so I served in the military for a total of 32 years, and I'll tell you this story about why I kind of transitioned over into what I'm doing now. My husband and I were sitting in Virginia, and we got a phone call from my stepmom, and she said, "Your dad's out. He's been out since like 9 o'clock this morning. He said he was going to the park to go for a walk, and I haven't heard from him since. He's just been driving around, and I don't know where he is." And so here I am, having served, I'm at the highest levels of Army medicine because at this point I'm working at the Office of the Surgeon General. And I am basically powerless to be able to help my dad, who's in Tennessee. I'm in Virginia. And so I was trying to think through my mind, what can I do? What can I do to try to get this situation? So we ended up calling the police, and they put out what they call a yellow alert. And basically what that does, or excuse me, silver alert, correction, silver alert. And basically what that does is they use the cameras that are located throughout the city, traffic lights, et cetera, to locate a vehicle. And reading the license tag to be able to identify where they had been seen last. Fortunately, they were able to track him down and direct him back home. It was about 9 o'clock that night when we were finally able to get him back home. But I was like, look at this. My dad, who at this time is like 82 years old, has been a servant as well. He served as a Baptist minister up in Kentucky for a long time. But here he is in the twilight of his life, and he's has dementia, mild at that stage, but and he still wants to get out and be active, go see people, and we are not able to keep him safe. And I felt very, I guess, helpless at that point. Yeah. And so as I got ready to retire, I was like, I'm sure there are other people who are active, very busy professionals who may have similar situations because they're not living in the same city as their parents, but they still want to make sure that they're taken care of and safe. So that's where we got the idea to be able to provide assistance to others who are finding themselves in similar situations, because there are times when you just don't know what you don't know. Right?
Indeed.
Yeah. So, I didn't know about the silver alert until we had to launch into it. I didn't know about monitoring devices that you can put in your parents' car to track where they are in the city, and I could look on my phone, So those were things that we had to find out as we went along the way. But different ways to be able to help people who are, like I said, in the twilight of their lives. So, what I have and what we're beginning with right now is a company that provides counseling and coaching for people and looking for their specific needs and being able to take care of their parents, whether they live in
From a distance, right?
whether they live in the same city or if they live at a distance, making sure that they understand the resources that are available to them, making sure that they understand what are the basic, legal documents that you need to have on hand? What are the basic things that you need to know about your parents that you may or may not know? Because a lot of times people don't talk about their medical histories and those kinds of things. And as a kid, as an adult a child of your parent, you may not know all of their medical issues, especially if you are away from home and you're not the one taking them to their doctor's appointments and that kind of thing. So what we're doing is we're providing people with the basic information that they need to have to be able to, I guess, deal with some of the situations that they encounter.
So you're not, are you coming up with, how do I ask the, it sounded like you're turning people, your clients, onto resources that are already out there that they may not know about.
That's one.
Are you simultaneously coming up with some of your own resources that your clients can make use of?
Yes.
Okay.
So the resource one is just kind of like a go book, right? And inside of that go book, it would have what are your parents' basic medications? What's their medical history? Do you have a medical power of attorney or a living will? Making sure that all those things are in one set space. So if there's an emergency situation, whether you are there or not, when the EMS people come in, let's say that they've fallen out and EMS comes in, you can be able to direct them over in the kitchen cabinet on the far left-hand side is a notebook that has all the information that's available or that's needed to be able to care for my parent. These are the basic pieces of information, and here's the medical power of attorney, so that until I can get there, you know that I can speak for my parent from a distance.
So that is something that you coach your clients on, have a book, have all the power of attorney, all the medicines and so on. And so somebody calls the EMTs. Maybe it's the individual spouse, or maybe it's the child, the kid, who, and at that time of that call, is that information conveyed to like the 911 operator to transfer that information of to where the stuff is at that time, or is that passed on later? I mean, how do the EMTs get the information you were just describing?
So there's a couple of different ways. For those who have smartphones, within your smartphone, especially if you have the Apple devices, there's a part in there that says in case of an emergency, ICE. Also, there's an emergency contact, and you can set it in on your phone. It has a red asterisk. And so if they just scroll through your phone and it's an emergency, they don't have to have your passcodes. They can press this button, it comes up, and the point of contact's number would be in there. So EMS will call the emergency contact. They would have a lot of information already built into the phone. But if they don't, and you have the book set aside, but that particular, you can use your smart, they can use your smartphone to be able to call, contact you. And I'm trying not to be too confusing because I'm doing a lot of you. So I
So
apologize for that.
the EMT walks in the door with all their kit and everything, and they ask for the individual's phone, and that's where they get that app to be able to make that contact with the child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So there would be an emergency contact phone number. They would call, and then you can relay on a lot of that information.
Okay. How are they alerted about the fact of this phone exists and that information is on there? Is that just something that they all typically ask for these days, or what?
In a lot of cases, if the person doesn't have a loved one who's in the household, if there's more than, there's usually two EMTs, and once they get the person in a relatively stable situation and they're getting ready to transport, generally most of us have our smartphones that are in a close proximity, and so they can go through the smartphone and try to get that information because they need to have a point of contact. They can go ahead and get you to the hospital without that point of contact if necessary. That's what we've been doing in the past, but that is another means to be able to get more information about the individual as they're being transported out.
Okay, wow. So, as I said, that maybe it's the spouse that called 911. But
Right.
what if the individual is living alone? What if your dad was living alone and was driving around town for hours? How would that have come about? I mean, how would they have been alerted to that,
Unfortunately, at this point or at that time, nothing could have alerted him.
Until he had a wreck or something. I
Right,
mean,
an
it could have
accident or
got
something
went from
like
bad
that.
to worse. Yeah. Oh,
Right.
shoot.
But over time, what we ended up doing for him is we put in a device into his truck that kind of tracked where he was going and where he was at any point in time.
But
It
this
also
was after the fact, I think you said, correct?
is
Yeah.
after the fact, right?
All right.
Because one of the things that we also talk to people about is having those difficult conversations, because when you have elderly parents who are still relatively independent, talking to them about things like when to take the car keys, right? When to stop allowing you to one, live alone, or live in a house that's not as safe for you to be in, lots of stairs and that kind of thing. When do you need to move to a different type of structure, one that's maybe like a ranch style as opposed to the house that you've had all your life. But having those difficult conversations.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And the parent says, "Hey, leave me alone. I'm okay. I don't need any help."
Well, and in the case of my father, he said, "I'll stop driving when God tells me to stop driving."
Well, when the state takes away his driver license, that's probably the voice of God right there. Well, you had said that smartphones are often equipped with this emergency, and you said the iPhone is really the best because it's got the
But
better built-in feature of that whole thing.
I won't say it's the best. It's the one that I'm familiar with.
Okay, all right. Because then the other ones, of course, would be the Android stuff too. I was going to say, if that is the unrefuted best, then it would behoove the individual to switch over to an iPhone just for that emergency call situation. If it indeed turns out that that's got the best capability to be of service in that regard. Okay. All right.
Well, at this point, I can't say I haven't finished all of the research. Like I said, I'm going off of what I'm familiar with at this point. And so the iPhone is a good it has that particular feature. There's something also called consumers. Well, Consumer Cellular has something called a GrandPad. And it has similar information in it, not as thorough as the iPhone.
Called
But
the Grand Pad.
the GrandPad from Consumer Cellular.
I love it.
And it's something that AARP offers discounts for. If you're a member of AARP, then you can get your GrandPad. But it makes the smartphone an iPad a little bit more user-friendly for the older generation.
I see.
Who some are not able to, especially when you start to get into the realm of mild dementia, you're not able to learn new things as well because it's short-term memory. And so with the GrandPad, it's a little bit simpler and there's fewer steps to be able to go through. So that's something that's easier for our elderly to be able to use a little bit more efficiently than a straight smartphone.
Got it. Okay. You just mentioned the phrase short-term memory. What is the duration? The typical duration of the definition of short-term memory as opposed to long-term memory.
So short-term memory is primarily when you are dealing with something that has happened within the last, say, 1 minute to, say, 24 hours, right?
So that is really short,
Short
okay.
term. And it varies for each person depending on the degree of their disease process, right?
Got it. Okay.
There are times when my father can remember 5 minutes ago. He can remember things that have occurred 30 years ago much
Right.
clearer than he can what happened yesterday or 30 minutes ago when he ate lunch.
Right.
He'll say that he's hungry because he hasn't eaten, but he would have just eaten lunch 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
So it just degree it depends on the stage of the disease as to how
Okay.
much they're able to retain.
And it comes and goes.
And it comes and goes,
Yeah,
absolutely.
that's almost the scary part. You know, 1 minute they're in, the next minute they're out, essentially. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So cool. Okay. Anything else here from a background point of view, perspective of what you're doing?
So, from a background standpoint, as we are, one of the things that I found in the military is that we were best when we worked as a team. And a lot of times people go through these situations and learn things as they go along, but they're doing it by themselves. And we're much more efficient when you have a team that's surrounded around you, right? So if you've got someone who's experienced something already it's good to use the benefit of their knowledge so that it saves you from going through a bad experience because they've already gone through it. And so what we're offering is to have a community of people who've experienced these things and be able to discuss it. Because it can be daunting, it can be emotionally charged and draining at times, especially when you feel like you are helpless in being able to provide for all of the needs that they have. And a lot of times, some of the things that you're trying to come up with, whether it's a medical legal issue or if it's trying to figure out the best health care or adult care facility to go through, or what are some of the resources that are available. If you're in the space of a community, you can ask those questions and get answers and utilize best practices that have been used by others to be able to help you navigate. So that's the other thing that we're offering is a community of people to be able to share information, best practices, and support.
Right. Yeah, it is really a support group, isn't it? You know,
Yes.
called a community of parental supporters, because you're all trying to support your parents, basically. So this is something that you're probably setting up to be a membership type thing, and then with periodic or frequent Zoom calls, coaching calls, or whatever they are, community visits online with you being the host, the moderator, and going from there, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we'll also have a newsletter which will be able to feature certain either devices that we've already researched and said, okay, we're doing a head-to-head between mobile alert, life alert, and healthcare, devices that help, like you remember the commercial that says, help, I've fallen down and I can't get up?
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Oh, yes. Who hasn't heard that one many times?
Right.
Yeah.
So doing the research on those different ones and saying, okay, this one offers these particular features at this cost, but being able to do head-to-head comparisons and then offering that in the newsletter to say, I'm not going to make the decision for you. This is the research that I've found, and this is what would be beneficial to you. You make the choice.
Yeah.
So that would be.
It's not like you're an affiliate for any of these companies. You're just giving your take on each one, probably the features, benefits, pros and cons, and so on, and let the member make their own choice. All right.
Right. But it saves them time because that research is already done for them.
Got it. Anything else in this membership program?
So the other thing would be is one-on-one, I guess, consultation to try to figure out what are some of the best things that are available, for you as, as a person who, depending on what your situation is, do you live in the same city with them or do you live away?
Yeah.
And doing some of the research to say these are the resources that are in your area, and trying to help them come up with a plan to be able to provide care for their parent.
Understood. So I imagine the worst thing is for, like, in your case, you're in Virginia. Your dad was, I think you said, in Tennessee, and you're not across the street,
Right.
and that just adds to your feeling of helplessness. And so that's probably a pretty scary thing for any child with a long distance parent. Are there ways that say resources? I think you mentioned resources before that child could make use of in order to help keep better tabs on the parent.
Yes.
Those are things that are out there and already in place, but the child has no idea of them. And so part of what you're about is making them aware of those things on the local level, particularly when there's the long distance between, parent and child. So that's all very good. You've got to have, you're offering a full a full complement of services and support to these kids so they can help support their parents. Is there any other aspect? You mentioned that, you know, the community, the newsletter, the one-on-one consultation, anything else that's part of your service offering?
No, that's primarily it at this point. And as we find that there are more needs, we'll kind of morph out to be able to, if we can, provide additional services as needed.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. I think that's going to be wonderful. I hope my kids don't need that service for me or for my wife. We'll see how that goes, you know. Let's see here. So, and you're just getting this underway. Okay. Have you acquired any clients yet?
Not as of yet. My parents are keeping us pretty busy. What I didn't mention is, you know, I have my father and his wife, my stepmom. I have my mother, and who's 84. And then my husband's parents are both living, thank God. One is 89, will be 90, his birthday. And my mother-in-law is 86. So we have our hands full at this point.
Yes, you do.
And we've moved to Knoxville to be with them.
Yeah.
So that's.
If I could suggest it, is that these folks become, you are your first client, I guess, and they are your first. That's not that they would be the client, you are the client. And so it's good indeed for you to be walking through that, because then you can help to coach and mentor other people based on your experience, what you have found that works, what you found that is not worth even trying, not even worth thinking about. And so that's the thing. From your experience, you can look back and say, well, this is what I did and stuff. And like you said, you're not there to tell them necessarily what to do, but just advise them what the options are. And it's always good and safe to say, well, if it were me, this is what I would do, instead of saying, this is what you should do, because there could be a whole different realm of legality between those two statements, you know,
yes,
as far as that. And I don't know if you've got like errors and omissions insurance or something that might be worth looking into, because you're definitely working with people's lives in this whole thing. So just be advised of that, just to protect yourself. And so on. What is the name of your business, of your service?
The company that we have right now is J225 Ventures, and then this particular aspect is called It Takes a Village.
It Takes a Village. Okay. And I'm pretty shallow, so I have to ask specifically, what is the deep inner meaning of that term?
It takes a village, because when you are trying to provide care, be it for your children, and in this case, for our parents, you can't do it alone. And so as a village, you're able to pull together resources, time, and work together to be able to provide the care for your loved ones.
All right, great. So instead of calling this community, we call it a village. And so this is your inviting people to join your village, you know, which I guess you could really still call it a community. But if you're going to key off of that expression, it takes a village, join our village, you know. I happen to be the mayor of the village, but I want a lot of people in this village, and we're all here to help one another. That kind of thing, I guess, is what it just suggests is, you know, key off on that word. You're not community members, you're citizens of
the village.
The village. Yeah. Villagers. So Have you put in place marketing
Not yet.
this program yet? Okay. Do
Not yet.
you have in mind what you're going to do, or is that still something to come up?
So what I'm planning to do is start out with on social media, like posting questions that people may encounter in this journey, right?
Got it.
And then getting responses back and then inviting people to join, we'll
Right.
call it down the village,
Yep.
and then starting it that way and
Okay.
bringing people in.
So you're on social media right now as yourself, or
Yes,
as it
I'm still
today?
on as myself. I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay. So you're not on as It Takes a Village yet.
Not yet.
That's what you'll be
That's coming. That's coming.
doing indeed. And even with you as an individual, then you can create, I think there's a way to create a business off of your personal account, and that would be It Takes a Village, you know. So how to get into that. And I tell you, the more you can get yourself out there, the more platforms you can be on, the more you can be posting, the better. Because what you want to do is you want to draw attention to what you are, who you are, but then what you're doing and what you can do for these children with parents in these situations. Even in Facebook, you can create a group. You can have, I believe that would be like a, off of your profile, your Facebook profile, you can create a page that is It Takes a Village, but then also create a group, which would be then ultimately a private group. People would have to request admission into this group, or I should say village, and that would be a place where your clients can grow together, be together on the Facebook group page. You know, just some thought in that regard. And that works for everybody, folks. You can have your own page, and then a business page, and then say a group that can be open to everybody, or a group that is private and requires, you know, application, so to speak, and admission. In your case, you probably wouldn't let anybody into that private group unless they were a client, unless they signed on to be a client. And that's just one of the prerequisites of joining that group, that village group, is to be a client of yours, you know. So anyway, so hopefully that gives you a tidbit of information into the marketing world. It's a challenging deal, but it's so very necessary. Because they're not gonna come to you if they don't know you, if they don't know who the heck Katrina is and what she is doing, that she's the mayor of a village. Indeed. Any advice, as now this is a new thing for you, totally different. I mean, you're creating a business, and MDs are not often the best business people. They're great at medicine and so on, but when it comes to business, it's not always so easy. It's a whole different world. Be like me going into the medical profession. My daughter is a registered nurse, and she's the nurse supervisor of her hospital, in charge of all the nurses in the whole hospital while she's there. I don't know how she does it, but that's her bent. My bent is business. Your bent had been medicine. Now you're moving into a bent of business, and I'll tell you, it's very exciting. I love business, but it's required a transition. What advice might you have for somebody who is contemplating, not necessarily what you're doing specifically, but somebody that's contemplating branching out, starting something possibly totally new, that might find a little intimidating, as you probably have? Anything to say?
Absolutely, absolutely. The thing is you never want to go it completely alone, and you want to be able to benefit from the experience of others. And so having a coach who can help lead and guide you and point you in the right direction is always important. And then also having a mentor, someone who's been there, done that, and has your best interest at heart to be able to kind of lead you and point you in the right direction. And then also give you the contacts to be able to allow your business to grow, right? Giving you, I guess, access to certain things. And I'm very thankful. I'm a part of the 10X community as well. And I feel very fortunate to be able to have an audience with you, Mr. Thomas. I really appreciate being here. But this is all as a result of contacts and being a part of a community and having a mentor and a coach.
Yep. One of the buzzwords in that arena, I think, is called networking.
Yes, networking.
Meeting people. They teach us to come up with an elevator pitch where in one or two sentences you are conveying what you do, and specifically what problem you solve and who you solve it for. So folks, keep in mind those kinds of things. She's given some good suggestions here, and figure out what you're about and how you can succinctly put that into one or two sentences to pique someone's attention. Do not go into a big dissertation and details of what you're doing unless they ask for more information. You make those two sentences and then shut up, and hopefully they'll say something something and ask you a question. But anyway, so anything else that comes to mind by way of advice for a transition or for a startup?
My dog is barking in the background, so
Oh,
that's for
I don't hear it. We don't hear it.
Oh,
It's
okay.
just, I had a
No.
I was interviewing a lady a couple months ago, and she has one of these automatic vacuum sweeper things that tools around the house and vacuums the carpet. And hers took off in her office. And so she had to break away and turn the thing off because that was loud. We don't hear the dog. So yeah, anything else that you might want to throw in here?
Just believe in what it is that you're doing, and don't be scared to get out there because there are people who need the services that you can offer. And so do it scared.
Well, you can be scared, but don't let it stop you. Tunnel, break through that fear, break through that scaredness, all right, believe in what you're doing. Got it. So important. Because if you don't believe in it really, you're going to have a real hard time convincing others to believe in what you're doing. You need to be sold on it first and foremost, and to be passionate about it, right?
Absolutely.
Indeed. Okay,
Absolutely.
finally, how can people find you? How can people reach out to you? Somebody's watching today, or when we get this out, somebody's watching and says, "Man, oh man, I'm in that. You're singing my song. I've got a parent that's 500 miles away, and they're starting to struggle." How would they reach you?
They can reach out to me either on Facebook. It's Katrina Hall Smith.
It's all one word, no doubt.
Yes. And then the
Okay, now
other,
excuse me. I
go
know
ahead.
your Hall Smith is hyphenated. So are you hyphenating that on your handle, or is it all strictly one word with no hyphen?
It's just on Facebook. You would just do a search on Katrina Hall Smith in Knoxville, Tennessee, in Facebook. And then for LinkedIn, let me pull that one up real quick. I apologize. I should have had this up already.
Maybe the same search for your name.
Yep, they can do a search for my name and at J or co-founder of J225 Ventures. And that one is also hyphenated, Katrina Hall Smith.
Got it. Okay, got that, folks? Write that down. Say those two again, will you?
Katrina Hall Smith on Facebook, and then it's the same within LinkedIn.
Got it. Okay, great. Okay. Do you have a website yet?
Nope, it's being built.
Okay, it's being built. And what's the domain name for future reference?
It'll be J225 Ventures.
How do you say J what?
J225 Ventures.
225 Ventures.
At j225ventures.com.
Here again now. Ultimately, I think you're going to want to have your own thing here on Facebook, you know, about the village. It takes a village, as well as LinkedIn, and then possibly it takes a village.com. So you're honing in specifically on that too. Just my suggestion. If it was me, I would do that. I'm a website fanatic, a domain weirdo. So anyway, because you just want to. Anything you can do, Katrina, get your name out there and specifically to get what you're doing out there. Do you take phone calls or emails?
Emails, it would be K H A L L S
Did you say
M B
S?
Q yep, Kilo Hotel Alpha Lima Lima
All right.
Sierra.
Okay, so K Hall, letter K, and then Hall, and then what?
S
S as in Sam.
S as in Sam, M as in Mike, D as in Delta, 02 at gmail.com.
At Gmail. Okay, so we've got K Hall, SMD 02 at gmail.com. Okay, phone calls, phone numbers. You
Phone
take
number.
phone calls. I mean, if you don't take phone calls, don't worry about it. But if you do, somebody might like to call you.
Okay, let me pull that up. I'll just give you the business line.
All right. I just want people to be able to reach out to you if they want to talk.
Yes, sir. So that would be area code 865
865,
302
302,
6863.
6863, and if no answer, leave a message, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks, I should say children, kids with elderly parents, and or would-be entrepreneurs that are having an idea floating around in your mind. That are thinking, I like to do this. And if she can do it, if Katrina can do it, transition from the medical world to the business world, you can do it also. So that's all we've got to say for this episode, folks. So until next time, I'm going to say over and out. We'll see you next time. Take care until then. Okay? Bye-bye.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.